Amen. If you could open your Bible tonight to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4 tonight. Thankful for the opportunity to be in the Lord's house tonight, and certainly is a blessing and encouragement to see your attendance tonight. I love Wednesday night church, and whenever I preach or pastor gives me an opportunity to preach, I always feel the burden of delivering the message and knowing that the people need something. But I think there's just something special about Wednesday night, especially on a night like tonight, because the determination to get to the house of God and the determination for you guys to get to the house of God on a night like tonight isn't necessarily because of hearing a special or because of sharing the prayer request or because of the time of fellowship or because of the Kroger food. All those things are great, but that's not the motivation. The motivation is to hear from God. And that's something that, going all the way back to Bible college, was something that the Lord had always impressed upon my heart. And so we all take every opportunity to preach seriously, and I know tonight is just as serious as an opportunity. And you need to hear from God just as much as anyone else in here tonight. And God has a message for us in Philippians in chapter number 4. Now, being in the pulpit about 10 minutes earlier than normal is a good thing, I guess, because I told Brother Buddy earlier today my notes are about double what they normally are. So apparently the Lord knew I needed more time, and I don't know if I'm supposed to be done earlier or if I just get more time to preach. I'm not sure. We'll see how this goes, try to expedite it, I guess. But God still has a message for us tonight in His Word in Philippians chapter number 4. Look in verse number 1 as we begin. It says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudeus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this night. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. And thank you, Lord, for just those that have made it here safely, Lord, and thank you for just watching over us as we got here tonight. And Lord, as we come now to the most important time, not because of anything I have to say or offer, but because of the opening of your word, I pray and ask, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that you would distract the devil from, that you'd keep the devil from distracting anyone in this room. Lord, our hearts and our minds will be solely upon you and your word. And help us to get tonight what you have for us. Lord, I pray that you would use me as an instrument in your hand and just fill me with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you would bless and help tonight as I deliver your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, in reading here, as we finished in verse number 7, leaves us with the promise of peace. The promise of peace, as you read there in verse number 7, talks about the peace that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's a great promise as we read that passage and understand that. But as it goes, as we study God's Word, as we look throughout Scripture, and it's filled with God's promises, we can see it from cover to cover and everywhere in between. God's promises are present there for us, and we're thankful for every single one of God's promises. But as we look at God's promises, there's two different types of promises that God gives us within His Word. There's the unconditional promises that God gives us. Those are the promises that God is going to deliver upon, or God's going to meet, regardless of the circumstances, because He's God, because He's promised it, and He's going to do it. We would consider those to be unconditional promises. I think of an unconditional promise like Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good. That's a conditional promise, I'm sorry. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Or an unconditional promise like the promise of God's presence, that He said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." And we may leave His presence, but God never leaves us. and is always present in our lives. And so the other would be that of a conditional promise. God gives us some conditions on some promises. And I think sometimes we can be guilty of trying to claim a promise without even understanding what it is the conditions are with it. I mentioned Romans 8:28, and there's often people that aren't even saved, that aren't children of God, that would say, well, everything's going to work together for good. It's karma. It's going to be good. All things are going to be good. Well, that's great, but there's the conditions that are attached to it. Now, as we come to this, it's no different when it comes to the promise of peace, and we'll study the promise and the conditions associated with it. But I'm telling you that if we want to claim a promise and we're unwilling to look at or study or make sure we meet the conditions, then we're not always going to find that promise being met in our lives because something is missing. I was thinking about that in the sense of a couple years ago, maybe about a year ago or two, I remember my daughter Abby had this great idea with a big snow outside that she wanted to make ice cream out of snow. And so she went out and she had this idea and piled together some ice cream and came inside and added some vanilla extract and some milk and chopped up some strawberries and put it all in there. And she's making us strawberry ice cream and she stirs it all together. She puts it in a bowl and she brings it to us and we take a bite. And it wasn't ice cream, because one key ingredient was missing, and does anybody know what that ingredient is? Sugar. There was no sugar, so no sugar, no ice cream. The conditions are you put these things in it, and you're going to end up with ice cream. If you miss something, then you're going to end up with something else. And I think that happens sometimes where we think that I can claim God's promise, and it's there, but if we're not meeting the conditions, or if we're not looking at what He's asked us to do within Scripture, sometimes we can find something different and wondering why it's not there, or why I'm not experiencing it. And the same would be true here as we talk about the peace of God. Now, when we think about the promises of God, we've got to keep in mind about the promises of God, that God's not a liar. And when God promises that He's going to do something, He's very much going to keep that promise. And as we study those conditions, we have to see what the requirements are for us. And the truth is that God has the capacity to keep every single one of His promises. It's not as though that at some point He could just say, well, I know I promised this, and I know you met the conditions, but I'm just unable to deliver right now. I'm sorry, you're going to have to come back later. That's not our God. He is under any circumstances able to meet His promises. And so those are some great things to hold on to as we think about the promises of God. So with those things in mind, let's look at this promise in verse number 7. It says this, "The peace of God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So this is a promise of peace. It's a promise of peace. Now, when we talk about this peace, this is a personal peace. This isn't a promise of peace throughout the nations or a peace throughout the earth or through the world or necessarily even in our relationships. This is a personal peace. This is drawing a circle around myself, standing in it, and saying that there can be peace within that circle from God. That's the peace of God of which we're talking about. It's a personal promise. And it's personal peace, as I said, it's not because it's world peace. And if we're honest here tonight, we have no world peace. Someone had once did a study that as far as human history was concerned, there were only a few hundred years in the course of human history in which there was peace during those years. And that's just a small window in thousands of years of Earth's history that they look at. And the truth is that as we think about world peace, it's not going to be realized until Jesus Christ Himself comes and returns and sets foot on this earth and establishes His kingdom. Only then will we know world peace. And so that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about world peace. We're not talking about anything outside of that. We're talking about the peace that comes from God in a personal sense. And that's the personal peace. So world peace has to do with peace going on around us, which we won't experience until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. But personal peace has to do with the peace going on inside of us. And that's the peace that this Bible talks about, that the Bible talks about here in this verse, in verse number 7. It's talking about God's peace. And when it comes to peace and God, there are two different types of peace. When you study Scripture, there's two different types of peace concerning God. There is the peace with God, and then there's the peace of God. So the first one I mentioned is the peace with God. That has to do with our standing with God. That's where I stand with God. It's as I stand before Him, I can stand at peace with God, that there's peace with my relationship with God. Now, man is separated from God because of sin and its penalty, and there's no peace. In fact, the Bible says that because of our sin, there's a middle wall of partition between us and God. There's no fellowship. There's no peace there between the unsaved, the unbeliever, the unrepentant sinner. There's no fellowship between them and God. And that's talking about the peace with God. But that peace comes, of course, through the person of Jesus Christ. He's the one that died on the cross and paved the way through His blood, His shed blood, to tear down that middle wall of partition, to rip the veil in two and allow us to have access and a relationship with God. And only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ can we have peace with God. It's not through ordinances, it's not through doing catechisms, it's not through giving money or baptism or any other way. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ in which we have peace with God. Listen to Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Or Ephesians 2:14, for He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Our peace with God is settled at salvation, and it does not change. And that's the peace with God. But the second piece is the peace we're looking at here, as it talks about in verse number 7. It's the peace of God. The peace of God. That has to do with the peace that we can experience on the inside, no matter what's going on the outside. And it's a peace that only God can give. Peace is defined as a state of quiet or tranquility. It's quietness or rest. Now, as I said, that doesn't mean that our circumstances have changed around us. That doesn't mean when we experience the peace of God that those circumstances have been removed. But true peace takes place on the inside and can take place no matter what the circumstances are surrounding it. And God may quiet the storm around you, but He will quiet the storm within you for sure. I don't know if He's going to quiet the storm around you, but I know He will always quiet the storm within you when you have the peace of God. And so that's what we're talking about. The promise there is that we have the peace of God. So looking at that, we understand that it says there in verse number 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. I think that's just one of my favorite descriptions of peace within all of Scripture, is that it passes all understanding, the peace of God. It passes all understanding. And that word passeth means it excels, or it's superior to, it's above, it's beyond. So if you could think of it this way, when I read within Scripture about the peace of God, that it passeth all understanding, it's like I see a emoji next to it of the mind blown, is what I see. You can go ahead and draw that in there or get a sticker and get that. Don't waste your time getting an emoji Bible. You could just put that in there yourself. Don't cover it up. Just as a note. But it's that, it's mind-blowing. It cannot be understood sometimes. It cannot be explained sometimes. And that's certainly true about the Christian experience. There are just some things that cannot be adequately explained. I cannot adequately stand here tonight and explain why God loves me, but I can tell you this, God loves me. I can't tell you why He would send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die in my place, but I know that He loved me enough to do so. And some of those things can't be completely understood or explained, but I still believe them to be true. Then when it comes to the peace of God, although we can't explain it, I'll tell you this. If you've experienced it, you know it's real. If you've seen it in your own life and going through circumstances and dealing with difficult times, or you've watched other people doing it and you've experienced it, then I'm telling you, you know what I'm talking about when it's called the peace that passes all understanding. Because it's as if you stand there and you try to describe what someone else is going through as they're experiencing that peace, or you yourself is, and you just can't understand it. I think back to October. They're not here tonight, but I think back to October when Angela and Eli Hackelman stood right here and talked to every person that came through at Josh's visitation. And I'll tell you, I can't tell you a lot of things about what they were going through, but I'll tell you one thing that was very evident in a moment like that. It was the peace that passes all understanding. That doesn't mean that they understood everything. That doesn't mean the circumstances around them has changed, but they've experienced something. It's the peace of God, and it's something that passes all understanding. It's beyond our comprehension. We can't even begin to wrap our minds around it. It's just that good. It's that special. It's that unbelievable for us to experience. It's one of the things you just have to see and experience for yourself, and then you can only begin to understand it, although it's still beyond our ability to understand. It passes it. It surpasses it. When I think about something surpassing understanding, I think about Paula Deen's cooking. I had heard about Paula Deen's cooking. I'd seen it on TV. People had been to her restaurants. And I just really couldn't understand how it could be that good until we went to Savannah, Georgia in June one day and ended up at Lady and Sons and had the buffet and had fried chicken and mashed potatoes and macaroni and cheese and brown butter cake and ate all those things. And then at that moment, it surpassed my understanding. How could something be this good? How can mashed potatoes be this good? I'll tell you why. It's equal parts butter and potato. That's why. But you eat something like that and I can't even describe it. I can't begin to understand it. It's beyond comprehension how it could be this good. But I'm telling you, something even better is the peace of God. We can't always wrap our mind around it. We can't always explain it, but it's a wonderful thing once we've experienced it for ourselves. It's kind of like salvation. It's kind of like the gospel in 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. People that are unsaved, they don't get it. They don't understand it. But reading on in verse 18, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And so I may be standing on one side where I've not experienced the peace of God and I just can't understand how it's possible. And then once I've experienced, I'm looking back now at the peace of God and I say, I just don't understand how it's possible, but God did it. It's real. I've experienced the peace of God. Our world is looking for inner peace. But it's not found in personal reflection, education, possessions, health, wealth, substance, or even a person. Because that peace that they may find can change the moment the circumstances changed. But the peace of God can only be found in the person of Jesus Christ and in relationship with Him. As you read there, it says, the peace of God. You look to the end, it says, through Jesus, through Christ Jesus. It's only through Him and through Christ Jesus. Think of this. Jesus said this in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then I love this verse in John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now here's the great thing about that peace that passes all understanding is it does something for us when we experience it. As you read on here, it says this about that peace. It says it passeth all understanding and shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we experience the peace of God in our lives that passes all understanding, the Bible tells us it keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now that word keep there, as you would look at it, is it means literally to mount a guard or to mount soldiers as a guard or a garrison or a host of people to guard and to protect. And so the Bible says that it protects our heart and our mind through Christ Jesus. It's there as a protector for that. So think about that. As I have the peace of God and I'm going through a circumstance and I'm experiencing it and it's passing all understanding, the Bible tells me that it's going to keep or protect my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus. Well, what's my heart? Well, that's my emotions. That's what I feel. Now, you guys know as well as I do, when we're going through things and we're facing trials and difficulties or we're trying to grapple with what's happening in our lives or dealing with a job change or a loss of a job or some family dynamic that's upset and we're dealing with those things, one of the things that can run rampant if we're not careful is our feelings. And I may not always feel like doing something or feel a certain way, but the peace of God is there as a protector. When I experience the peace of God in my life, it's protecting me. It's protecting our emotions and understanding that emotions are powerful. It influences the way we act and the way we think, and those emotions need to be controlled. But thankfully, as we experience that peace of God in our lives, then it protects our heart, our feelings, our emotions. But as you read on, it says not only is it going to keep your hearts, but also says your minds through Christ Jesus. It's going to keep your mind through Christ Jesus. So the mind now would be that of the thoughts. So God tells me that as I have that peace that passes all understanding, it guards, it protects not only my heart, my emotions, but my mind and my thinking. Let's just be honest tonight. Two things that get me in trouble are my feelings and my thinkings. Those are the two things that get me in the most trouble. When I respond to something based upon how I feel, or when my imagination begins to run rampant or begins to spin out of control about something, and then it responds the wrong way. Those are two things that I don't know about anybody else. I need help protecting that. I need help keeping that. I need a garrison. I need a guard on that. And part of that, especially in those difficult times and trials and temptations that we might face, is having the peace of God. It's there to protect us, to help us to guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." So that's the promise in a nutshell. We look at that and say, that sounds good, Brother Aaron. I'd love to have that. I'd love to experience the peace of God in my life. I'd love to have it pass all my understanding and be beyond my comprehension. And I'd love for it to guard and to protect and to keep my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus. But what cannot be ignored are the conditions to experience such peace in our lives. Now, as we read through the first seven verses here, Philippians chapter number 4, the gear switch, so to say, happens in verse number 4. Something different happens once we get to verse number 4. And I want you to see something here. Based on verse number 7, it's one word that helps us understand that there are conditions attached to it. And it's not much of a word, but it's the word that's necessary to see. And that's the word "and." Now, we don't think much of it because it's just a conjunction. Conjunction, junction. What's your function? Anyways, but this is a conjunction, and it has a function, okay? Now, "and" is usually used in a couple different ways. We would look at this and say, is this a continuation of a list? Well, I don't believe it is at all. I believe this is a correlative conjunction. This is now tying what's said in this verse back to what was said previous to it, that they're related here in the subject matter and what they're talking about. And so the word "there" "and" is now backing up and tying to the verses previous to that, which would be verses 4 through 6. Those would be the requirements here to experience that "and the peace of God." If I'm doing these things, these commands, these series of commands that are given here in the verses leading up now to verse number 7, which is not a command, then we would understand that, all right, there are some things here I have to do. So we have a correlative conjunction here that ties these together. So the first thing is found in verse number 4. And if I'm going to experience the peace of God, no matter the circumstances that I face and I endure, no matter what's going on in my life, whether it's the loss of a loved one or a loss of a job or financial hardship or an imbalance in my relationships or some kind of trial or test that I'm dealing with or going through, if I'm going to experience the peace of God, I need to stop and make sure that I'm rejoicing. That I'm rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Now, rejoice is to be full of cheer, to be well or glad. It's joy, simply put. Now, the truth of the matter is that rejoicing is a choice. It's a command here. He says to rejoice in the Lord always, but it's a choice that we have to make ourselves. He commanded them to rejoice and, in fact, repeated it in verse number 4 at the end. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, just in case you didn't get it, for clarification and emphasis, rejoice. Rejoice. It's there. Now, I think that we understand this tonight, that rejoicing doesn't exactly occur naturally. Especially in difficult circumstances and trials of life, rejoicing is not the first response. Okay? About 45 minutes before church started, I got a call from my wife. And she wanted to let me know that she was in someone's front yard and wasn't supposed to be there, slid off the road. So that's a circumstance. I can tell you this, I didn't exactly want to rejoice in that. I didn't want to say, yes, so excited that it's stuck in someone's front yard. I'm so excited that 45 minutes before church I get to leave and get mud on myself trying to push her out and still sitting there. Brother Rich has got my back though, so we'll go get that later. But anyway, so That's not the natural response. That's not what we want to do. That's not how we want to respond in a situation like that. But the same Greek word translated rejoice in verse number 4 is the same Greek word translated joy in Galatians chapter number 5, verse 22, which you'll find the fruits of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit of God that's going to lead me to rejoice no matter the circumstances. So rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So he says in every situation, always. That's the hardest part about rejoicing, is doing it in every situation. You know, I don't mind rejoicing when things are good. That's easy. But when things are bad or difficult or they're troubling or they're heartbreaking, that's when it's difficult to choose to rejoice. But oftentimes, I think we confuse rejoicing and joy with happiness. Happiness is often dependent upon our circumstances, but rejoicing and joy is lasting and can exist in any circumstance. I can rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say, rejoice. You know, the apostles did it in the face of unimaginable persecution. We won't take time to study it, but in Acts chapter number 5 or Acts chapter number 16, whether they're being beaten or they're sitting in a prison, you see the apostles rejoicing. Rejoicing, no matter the circumstances. We can find joy even in the midst of trials and tribulations. Jesus is the source of our joy. So if I'm going to experience the peace that passeth all understanding in my lives, and whatever the circumstance is, then I have to make sure that a response is to rejoice, first of all. That I'm rejoicing in the Lord. That I'm praising Him. That I have joy in what God's doing in my life, because it's not dependent upon my circumstances. It's dependent upon my God that does not change. And I can have joy. The second thing is in verse number 5. Verse number 5. The next verse. Verse number 5. It says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. So we see the word moderation. Let your moderation be known unto all men. This simply means gentle or patient. Let your control or your restraint be known unto all men, is what we would understand from this word moderation. In fact, the 5 other times you find it within Scripture in the Greek that's translated moderation here, the other 4 times it's either gentle or patient is the translation there. So that's the understanding, is the moderation is kind of being in control or restrained, gentle, patient. And it's not about me being in control. It's about the Holy Spirit of God being in control of me. That's what he's saying. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Moderation is the state of being moderate or keeping a due mean between extremes or excess violence. To help you better understand moderation, I think of the word moderator, which if you guys ever watch a debate, which I don't know why you would have recently, but if you would watch a debate on TV, you would turn it on and you'd see the candidate standing up there, and then opposite of them is one person. And that one person's job is to be the moderator. That means that they're to be in control and kind of keep things going in the right directions and provide the questions and remind them of timing and give them the chance to do a rebuttal. And there's nothing worse than watching a debate where the moderator has no control at all. That's just frustrating to watch something like that. A good debate, the moderator has control. So God's talking about, if I'm going to have the peace that passeth all understanding in my life, I've got to respond, of course, with joy, first of all, but under the Spirit's control, with moderation. Because again, how I want to react and how the Holy Spirit of God wants me to react isn't always the same. And so the necessity there is that I be under moderation. And then he talks about that moderation. It's to be known unto all men. The idea of being known as perceived unto all men. That's something that should be evident. That's something that people should be able to look and see that, you know, they're under the Spirit's control. In this circumstance, in this situation, whatever's going on, this difficulty, this trial that they're going through, they're rejoicing, not only that, but they're under the Spirit's control. They're responding the way the Holy Spirit would, and they've yielded themselves to Him. That should be our testimony, that we're under His control. And then as you read on, the third and final requirement would be that I don't worry. So I'm facing a situation. You fill in the blank, whatever's going on in your life. You fill in the blank of whatever it is. If I'm going to experience the peace of God that passes all understanding, I've got to rejoice. I've got to be moderate under the Lord, the Holy Spirit's control. And the third thing is, I can't worry about it. Look there, it says in verse number 6, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. So essentially, don't worry. Don't be anxious about anything. You know, it's the same word here that says be careful. It's the same word that you would find in Luke chapter number 10 in the story of Mary and Martha. When they're there and Jesus is at their house and we've got Mary that's sitting at Jesus' feet and Mary and Martha's running around like a chicken with her head cut off and she's upset at Mary that she's just sitting around doing nothing while Martha's doing all the work. And in Luke chapter number 10, verse 40, it says this, but Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. She was worried. She was full of care. She was anxious about that. So as we read this in verse number 6, it says to be careful or full of care about nothing. Now, that doesn't mean that we're just carefree and we don't care about life or anything like that. But it's the understanding that I'm not going to worry about what's happening, what's going on. You know what the thing is about worry? Is that it accomplishes absolutely nothing. You don't believe me? Look at Matthew chapter number 6. When Jesus is talking about take no thought, over and over again, take no thought. He even says at one point, you're worried about how tall you are, you worry about it, guess what? You're not getting any taller. Don't worry about it. It's not something to be worried about. We learn from that is that, you know what? There's no amount of worry that's going to change my circumstances. But oftentimes that's how we respond. Something happens, something goes on, and instead of experiencing the peace of God in our lives, we experience the exact opposite, and that's anxiety. And you know what? As we're sitting there and twiddling our thumbs and worrying and being in a mess about something, we're not changing anything at all. We're not making a bit of difference in what the circumstances are. So you look at that, and what's great is God gave us, just as a little bonus right here, the cure for our anxiety. He says this in verse number 7. In verse number 6, he says, be careful for nothing. Here's the cure for your anxiety, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So very simply, the prescription there for anxiety is to pray and be thankful. Pray and be thankful. Talks about prayer and supplication, the word prayer there, giving the idea of praise and praising God. And then the supplication is request. God says, whatever's on your heart, whatever's on your mind, whatever you're toiling and worried about, just bring it to me. Give it to me. Talk to me. Tell me about it. And let me deal with it. And then the idea there of being thankful as well. And thankfulness is in verse number 6. He says, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So the promise is there. And that's the promise of a peace that passes all understanding. I don't know about you, but that's something I want to experience in every situation in my life. When I'm facing a major decision, I want the peace that passes all understanding. When I'm facing my own health complications, I want the peace of God that passes all understanding. When I'm facing financial difficulty or turmoils, I want the peace of God that passes all understanding. When I'm standing beside the grave of a loved one, I want the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And I'm telling you here tonight, we can experience the peace of God that passeth all understanding in any situation if we're willing to make sure that we rejoice and we're under the Holy Spirit's control and we're not being anxious about it or stirred up with anxiety over whatever is going on. I'm telling you, as we do those things, we'll experience the peace of God that passeth all understanding. You know what's amazing to me in thinking about situations like this is looking back and seeing the times where God has done that for me. And you have as well. But I think if we're honest here enough tonight, that from time to time we have to remind ourselves of the requirements here. You say, Brother Aaron, how do you know that? Did I tell you about what happened about an hour and a half ago? And I was experiencing some anxiety, thinking about what I'm going to do and how I'm going to fix this. And got some turmoil and everything's going on and I'm upset and didn't get to do sound check and I didn't get to have some more prayer time like I would have wanted and I had to go stand and get mud all over myself and come back. And as I'm standing in the back, it's like the Lord says, okay, what are you preaching on tonight, Brother Aaron? Are you experiencing peace right now? And you know what I had to do right before I came up here and preached? I had to remind myself, you know what? I've got to rejoice, first of all. My kids, my wife are alive. The car doesn't have a scratch on it. I can rejoice. I can rejoice. I had to remind myself as well, I've got to be under the Spirit's control. Well, what do you mean, Brother Aaron? Preaching. Like, I don't want to do that in the flesh. All right? I had to be under the Spirit's control. It's time to let the moderation be known unto all men. It's test time. Then I can't be anxious. I can't worry. Talking to Brother Rich, he's like, I got a couple chains and a rope. We'll get my big truck. We'll pull it out. There's nothing to be worried about. I can pray and talk to the Lord, let him know what's going on. He knows exactly what's going on. Now, I know that's just a small thing, but you know what? We experience things like that every single day. And we can experience the peace of God that passes all understanding, that has the ability to keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, no matter the circumstances. If we'll pay attention to the requirements that are there for this conditional promise. I'd like to have every head bowed and every eye closed. I don't know how God might have spoken to your heart tonight or used this message, but I know this is what He had for us. I want to thank God for His promises. I thank God that He's given us His Word that's full of those promises and that we can claim them and be willing to follow the conditions to meet whatever the promise may be. We don't have a musical invitation on Sunday nights, but the altar's open. I don't know how God might have spoken to your heart, but again, the opportunity is there for you to respond. Heavenly Father, we bow before You tonight and just thank You for the opportunity again to meet tonight and to spend time in Your house and to open Your Word. And thank You for this peace that passes all understanding. Thank You for the promise of it and for what it can do for us in keeping and protecting our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that You help us to be committed to rejoice in all situations, Lord, to be under the Spirit's control, and not to worry. And Father, I pray that You would help us tonight to meet those conditions on a regular basis and to claim the promise of peace that passes all understanding in our lives. And Father, I pray that You would just watch over us tonight, give us safety as we travel home. I pray that You would just deliver us all safely to our homes, and I pray that You'd watch over and protect us throughout the rest of the week. Be with Pastor and Mrs. Titt as they're away. Continue to give them a refreshing time and a challenging time next week as they sit under the preaching of God's Word. And I pray that You would speak to their hearts and just bless and refresh them. We pray that You would dismiss it with Your blessings, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.